Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Kuf Chaf Bet. We're at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amad Bet. Amarui Abba Barkana Amarui Chanina Pamoto Chil Bet Rebbe Mutar Tzolan B'Shabbat. So the lamps of Rebbe's house, you're allowed to move on Shabbat. Amarui Bizera Beni Talim B'Yado Achad O B'Shtei Adaim. Are we talking about the lamps that you carry with one hand or the lamps that you carry with two hands, meaning bigger lamps? Amarui Ka'otan Chil Bet Avicha, like the ones that you had in your father's house, which are small ones. Apparently, the small ones that you carry with one hand are the ones that are allowed to be carried. Amarui Abba Barkana Amarui Chanina, Kronot Shel Beit Rebbe, Mutar L'Tatzalan B'Shabbat. The chairs, the recliners of Rebbe's house, you're allowed to carry on Shabbat. Amar Le Rebbe Zera, B'Nei Talim Be Adam Echad, or B'Shnei B'Nei Adam. Right? Are we talking about the ones that one person can move on their own, or the ones that Davka two people have to be moving? Amar Leiko Dan Shel Beit Avicha. Right? The small ones, the ones that one person can move. Amar Rebbe Abba Barkana, Haytir Lahem Rebbe Chanina LeBeit Rebbe. So they permitted in Rebbe's house to drink wine that came from the caravans of non-Jews, even if there was just one seal on them verifying that they had not been broken into, not been poured by non-Jews. And so they wouldn't be yai nesach. Generally, you need two seals. Veloyadana imishum nesavar lak Rabbi Elazar imishum imta de beinesia. And I didn't know if it was because they held like Rabbi Elazar that one seal would be enough to verify its kashrut, or because they were in the house of the nasi. It was specific. There was a specific degree of awe or fear for the stature that they wouldn't mess with the wine. A new mishnah. Nachri shidlikat aner b'shtemesh la'oro Yisrael. So if a non-Jew who lights a candle, then a Jew is able to use it on Shabbat. Ve'imishvil Yisrael asur. However, if he does it on behalf of the Jewish person, he says, "Oh, you look like you want to read. Let me light a candle for you." Then you're not allowed to use it. Mile ma'im lashkot behematao mashke acharav Yisrael. Ve'imishvil Yisrael asur. If he fills up water from a pit in Rishut Rabim, for his own animal, then and there's water left over, a Jew's allowed to come in and use that water. However, if he does it on behalf of the Jew, then it's aser. Asan nochri keves liyared bo yored acharav Yisrael v'mishvil Yisrael asur. Right, and if a non-Jew makes a ramp to get off of a boat for himself, then a Jew is allowed to use that ramp afterward. But if he made it for the Jew, then he can't use it. Maaseh b'Rabbi Gamliel v'zakenim shayu bayin b'sfina v'asan nochri keves liyared bo v'yardu bo Rabbi Gamliel v'zakenim. Right, and it once happened that Rabbi Gamliel and the elders came on a boat with a non-Jew, and the non-Jew made a ramp, and Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim went down that ramp. Gemara, Utsuricha de Yeshmina ner mishum de ner echad ner lamea, aval maim ligzor dilmaati lafushe bishvil Yisrael. Right. So you need to teach all these three cases. Why? Because if you would have taught me just the ner case, just the case of the candle, I would have said ner lechad, ner lamea. One candle does as much good for one person as it does for 100 people. It gives this, it provides the same amount of light. In which case, if you're just doing it for yourself, then if he did it for himself, then he doesn't have to do anything extra for a non-Jew. However, when it comes to filling up water, the water that one uses, the other person does not use. So I wouldn't necessarily assume that just because he filled it up for himself, that I'm allowed to use it necessarily. I may have thought that when it comes to water, we should make an additional gzeira, because maybe if he sees that I use it, the next time he's going to come to put more water in so that I can use it. But there's no such thing as lighting the candle that he lit in a bigger way. Right, the candle that he lit is giving him as much light as it gives me, and no more is needed. I have a kevesh lama li, and so why did you need to teach me about the ramp? Why couldn't I have learned the ramp from one of those two cases? Because of the case of Rabban Gamliel and the Zakenim, I may have assumed that it would be allowed under all circumstances, but now I know it's only allowed if he made it for himself. So a non-Jew who picked grass for his animal, then a Jew can come in and use the grass left over afterward to feed his animal, but if he did it for the Jew, then it's asur. What we said about the water, fills up water for himself, you're allowed to use it. If it fills it for the Jew, he's not allowed to use it. But okay, but let's qualify this case here for a second. If the non-Jew doesn't know you, then you're allowed to use it. But if he does know you, then you may not use it, because we're concerned that he's going to come to do it on your behalf because he knows you and he wants to help you out. Aini, is that really true? But didn't we teach that a person can put his A person can put his animal on grass, on connected, attached grass on Shabbat, and let the animal eat for himself. However, you're not allowed to put him on picked up grass for Shabbat, because that grass is going to be mukta, and we're concerned that the person himself is going to pick up the grass and feed it to his animal. We're not concerned that he's going to uproot the grass, but we are concerned that if the grass is already uprooted, he may pick it up and feed it to his animal, but that is mukta. So how are we teaching that you're allowed to use the grass picked up by the non-Jew? This grass should be mukta. The ka'im leba ape va'az lahi ve'achla. No, we're not talking about where the person is feeding the animal directly or standing over the animal at all, for that matter. Rather, he's standing off on the side and you just allow the animal to go forward and eat from the picked up grass that the non-Jew picked up beforehand. Amamar b'medvaruma murim. Let's qualify the case again. She'ein makiro aval makiro aser. Right. So we said that only if he doesn't recognize, if he doesn't know the non-Jew doesn't know him. However, if they know each other, then you're not allowed to. Then we have a concern that the non-Jew is going to say, oh, let me help you out next time. I'll pick it up for you. Haram Gamliel Makiro Hava. Oh, it's like, didn't Rav Gamliel know this non-Jew who made the ramp for him? Amar Abaye, Shalub Fun of Hava. Yeah, but he wasn't in front of him, so it's fine. The non-Jew didn't realize that Rav Gamliel was going to come take benefit from him, right? So it doesn't matter whether he knew him or not. He didn't have him in mind. Rav Amar Afilo Tema B'fun of Ner Le'echad Ner Lameya. He says, no, you can even say that he was in front of him. That's different. Why? Ner Le'echad Ner Lameya, right? One candle suffices for one person and 100 people, so too, one ramp suffices for one person and 100 people. Where we said it was a problem if you knew them is the case of the grass, where you have a limited amount. Well, you picked it up, and whatever is used is used. So he's going to say, if he knows you and he wants to help you out, he's going to have to pick up more grass. But if he knows you and he wants to help you out, he can't build more of a ramp. The ramp he built for himself is just fine for you. There's no concern that he's going to do anything, right? Meitive Amar Lahen Rabban Gamliel Ho'il V'Shalo B'Faneinu Asa'o Nered Bo Ema Ho'il V'Asa'o Nered Bo. One second. So we can challenge this. Rabbi Gamliel apparently said that since he did it not in front of us, since he built this thing not in front of us, we can go down it. But what he should have said was, since he made it, we can go down it, right? So if it's really as we suggested, we brought in two shitas, right? The first one is to say, because he didn't do it in front of him, that's why he was allowed to take benefit from it. But had he done it in front of him, then he would not be allowed to take benefit. And the second answer, according to Rava, was that no, even if he did it in front of him, ner lecha ner lamea, he doesn't make any more of a ramp on his behalf. Well, then, to challenge that second answer, why would it be then that what Rabbi Gamliel said is, since he did it not in front of us, we're allowed to go down it, right? If the whole if it wasn't an issue at all, because one ramp suffices for one person and 100 people, then what should have Rabbi Gamliel really said? Since he did it and not us, we're allowed to go down it. Clearly, from his statement of since he did it not in front of us, that not in front of us is a pretty significant detail. Tashima, Irish Israel, Venochrim, Darin Betocha, Vahitaba, Merchatz, Hamechamimet, Beshabbat. Right? So you have a city, right? And Jews and non-Jews alike live in it, and it has a bathhouse that hot water is heated up on Shabbat. So again, this is non-Jews heating up hot water on Shabbat for in a bathhouse in a city where you have Jews and non-Jews. Im rov nochrim mutar lechotzba. Right? If it's mostly non-Jews, then you're allowed to bathe in the bathhouse miyad, immediately after Shabbat. You don't have to wait the amount of time that it would take to heat up that water. Im rov Yisrael yamtin bichdei sheich muchamin. Right? But if there are mostly Jews there, then you have to wait the amount of time it would have taken to heat up that hot water, so you don't benefit from the non-Jew doing malacha for the Jew on Shabbat, right? But here you can ask, but why? The one action, they're heating up water, right? And whatever they're doing for the non-Jews is effective also for the Jews, right? So it's like ner echad ner lameya, right? If I'm flipping the switch, I'm lighting the fire and I'm heating up the water. Right, I'm doing it for the non-Jews, a non-Jew is doing it for the non-Jews, and the Jew can come and take benefit from it. So why is it that if he did it, why would it be that the Jews have to now wait the amount of time until it was heated after Shabbat so as not to take benefit from the violation? But the violation was done on behalf of non-Jews, and there was no extra violation being done because the Jews are going to take part in it afterward. We should say ner echad ner lameya. The non-Jew didn't do anything extra for the Jew, in which case you should be able to benefit from it immediately after Shabbat. No, there, in the case where you have to wait for it to be heated up after Shabbat, we're talking about a case that is, as we said, Rov Yisrael, mostly Jews live there, in which case, when you have mostly Jews living there, we qualify his actions as being on behalf of the most, right? So, if mostly Jews live there, and someone is heating up a bathhouse, clearly he's doing it on behalf of the Jews, because it's mostly Jews who live there. And so, if you do it on behalf of the Jews, that goes back to what we said earlier, that only if he does it on behalf of a non-Jew, you'd be allowed to benefit from it. But, regardless of the case, if he does it on behalf of the Jew, then you're not allowed to benefit from it. And in a city that has mostly Jews, it's as if he's doing it on behalf of the Jews, and therefore you would not be allowed to take benefit from it. So you have to wait the amount of time it would have taken for that water to heat up after Shabbat in order to go use it. Tashima, ner hadaluk b'mesiba, im rov nochrim, mudar l'shtamesh l'ora, im rov Yisrael, asur, mechta mechta, asur. Right, so we said that a candle that was lit in a gathering, a party of some sort, if mostly non-Jews are there, then you're allowed to use them, right? And if it's mostly Jews there, then you're not allowed to use that light, and if it's half and half, you're not allowed to use that light, right? But similarly, you can ask the same question, ner echad ner lameya, he didn't do any additional labor for the Jewish people, he lit a candle, and it's helpful for everyone there, so what's the problem, right? And the problem is, hatam nami ki midli ki adate deruba midlaki, right? So if there are mostly Jews there, then he lit it on behalf of the Jews. That's what it's considered. In which case, it's not lighting on behalf of the Nochrim, and then a Jew uses it. It's lighting it on behalf of the Jewish people, because the Jews are the majority of that party. Shmuel ikla lebe abin turan atahu Nochri adlik sharga adrinu Shmuel laape. Right. So Shmuel went to a certain place, and a non-Jew came and lit a lamp. And then Shmuel turned his face away so as not to get benefit from the lamp lit on Shabbat. Kevan the chaza the aiti shtar v'kakari amara data the navshi who died leak adrinu ihu laape gabe sharga. Right, but when Shmuel saw that the person who lit the lamp came and brought in a document, he realized that the person was clearly lighting the lamp for his own benefit, so he could read the document. And so then he turned back around to take benefit from the lamp. Adron alach kol kitve new perik kol akelim nitalim b'shabbat v'dototen imahen afapishnit parku. She'enan domin latlot abayit lafi she'enan minamuchan. Okay, so all vessels, all movable vessels that have doors, right? Boxes and closets and whatnot that have doors, that you're allowed to move them on Shabbat, and you're allowed to use their doors on Shabbat, even if the doors came off. You're allowed to move them because they're not similar to, let's say, the door of a house. If the door of a house came off, then you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbat because the door of a house was never intended as an independent vessel, whereas the door of a box of some sort is considered to be an independent vessel that is attached on to the larger vessel of the box or of the closet. But a door of a house is never intended to be used separately; it's never intended to be detached. Notal dam kurnas levatzebo et agozim. A person can take a hammer to break open nuts. Kardum lachtochbo et advela, a knife to cut open fig cakes, megira lagorba tagvina, a knife of some sort to cut up cheese, magarefa ligrofba tagrugarot, right? Another type of an axe of sorts, or another type of a sharp object for the sake of the of dried figs, et harachat v'ta malgaz latidalav lakatan, and a large spoon or pitchfork that was generally not used for food to put food on it for a child, et akosh v'ta charker litchov bo machad, the reeds and other things used for weaving reeds and rods used in weaving to kind of get the strings in. You're allowed to use those. Machat shel yad, or a hand needle, litolbo atakot, to remove a thorn. Veshel sekaim, liftoach bo et adelet, or a different type of needle in order to open up the door. Basically, these are all objects that are generally used as a part of malacha, and not generally used for mutter purposes on Shabbat, but they have a clearly mutter function. You'd be allowed to move it for that reason. Right? All vessels may be moved, even if they broke apart on Shabbat. Right? And it goes without saying that if it fell apart, if it fell apart during the weekday, also you'd be allowed to To move them, all the more so you'd be allowed to move the parts that got removed. Adarabba, b'shabbat muchanin al gabei avihen, mechul ein muchanin al gabei avihen. Right? But no, on Shabbat, the opposite is true, right? Because on Shabbat, they started off Shabbat attached to the larger kli, in which case they're considered a part of a whole kli, and therefore functional on some level at the beginning of Shabbat. However, if it fell off on chol, it fell off on a weekday, then by the time Shabbat started, we don't even see this as a functional thing. Meaning, the door, a part of the kli, is a functional thing because it functions as a door for the kli. But if it fell and therefore it started Shabbat as a functional thing. But if it fell off before Shabbat, then we're just going to see the door as a broken kli. And then if it starts Shabbat with no practical function whatsoever, so the opposite is true. That if it started if it fell off on a weekday, then it's less likely that you should be allowed to use it. Rather, this is how it was stated. The Mishnah meant to say that all vessels can be carried on Shabbat, and their doors together with them, and even though they fell off during a weekday, you're allowed to carry them on Shabbat. And that's the Chiddush. The door of a box, of a closet, or of a chest. Notlin aval lo machzirin. Right? You can take them, but you cannot put them back on. Notlin velo machzirin. And when it comes to a chicken coop, the door of a chicken coop, you may not take it off and you may not put it back on. I understand why you cannot reattach the door of a chicken coop because it's attached to the ground. And attaching something to, building something on the ground is called binyan bekarka. It is definitely a problem of bone on Shabbat. Binyan Bekarka, it's a problem of bone on Shabbat. It's building a structure on Shabbat, so you cannot detach or put back together this door of the chicken coop. Ella shel shida v'shatev v'shel migdal. However, when it comes to a box, a closet, and a chest, my kasavar, I kasavar yesh binyan bekelim, yesh dir bekelim, the ein stir bekelim, ein binyan bekelim, right? So, what exactly is the svara here? There's a machloket as to whether or not building as we know it in the Mishkan, the malacha of bone exists when it comes to putting things together on a kli, right? When you think building, you're thinking, you know, building a structure, building a house, building of some sort. However, is building putting two parts of a kli together, putting two parts of a vessel together? Is that even building at all? Where was that done in the Mishkan, right? Is that bone, or is bone only building a structure from the ground up, you know, attached to the karka, not putting together two pieces of a box, right? So that's the machloket, and so now what we're saying is we have a clear difficulty here, right? Because if you want to say that there is binyan bistira, and therefore there's also if you want to say that there is such thing as stira bekelim, meaning that we consider it breaking even if it breaks off of a kli, then there's also building by kelim. Then building something is also a problem with kelim. Or I guess we're saying the other way around. If there is building by a kli, if you can build a kli on Shabbat and that is a problem of bone, if building a kli on Shabbat is a problem of bone, then breaking something off of a kli on Shabbat is a problem of stira. And if building a kli on Shabbat is not a problem of bone, then breaking it off is not a problem of bone or stira, right? In which case, we have a difficulty, right? Because why did we say that you're allowed to remove the door of a closet, a chest, or a drawer, but you're not allowed to put it back on, right? I understand. If you hold that there's no binyan bekelim, then fine. That's why I can remove the chest, because if there's no binyan, there's no stira. But if there's no stira, then you should also be able to put it back on, right? So, and if you cannot put it back on because there's no stira bekelim, because there is stira bekelim, because that's a malacha, even if it's not building from the ground up, it's from a kli, it's an object, well then why can't you put it back on? Meaning, it either is a problem for putting it back on and taking it off, or it's not a problem for putting it back on and taking off. That's probably the most simple way to say it. Amar Abaye le'olam kasavar yesh binyan bekelim. Really, there is binyan bekelim. It's a problem. You cannot build kelim. It's not just about karka. V'yesh tira b'kelim, right? And there's also breaking when it comes to kelim. V'shinitlu ka'amar, right? And we're just talking about a case where it was just already removed. We're not saying you may remove it. We're saying if it was removed, you can't put it back on. We're not to say that you could remove it. L'chadchila. Amar le'abaye shtei shuvah b'darachada. This is why I have two responses to your point. D'nitalin katani, right? So first of all, it doesn't say nitlo, meaning it was already taken off. It says nitalin, right? Ones that can be removed, right? Or so the... we're talking about something being removed, not something that was already removed. So your understanding of the Mishnah, it doesn't really, or of this teaching, is not really consistent with the Lashon used, right? It doesn't say Shenitlo. Ve'od mai aval lo machzirin. And furthermore, what does it mean, aval lo machzirin? What does aval generally indicate? In contrast to what we said earlier, where this was one thing, aval, but this is another thing, right? So if I say aval lo machzirin, but you may not put it back on, what does that sound like? I can remove it in the first place. That's what aval means. Ela amar Rava, because rather, this is how he holds. This is how he holds. There is no binyan bekelim, right? There's no such thing as building a kli on Shabbat, or there is. But it's not a problem. Binyan is about karka, not about kelim, right? So you build a kli on Shabbat, you're fine. You didn't do anything wrong. However, at least on the deraita level. However, and that also means there's no stira, right? So then how do we answer why you're allowed to remove it but not allowed to put it back on? Seemingly either one of them shouldn't be a problem, because we're concerned by machzir, and we're concerned by putting it back on, that you may come to fasten it into place, and that's going to be a problem, right? So if you just remove it or put it back on, that's not going to be an issue, but if you want to screw it in place, fasten it in place, that is going to be an issue, and therefore we're concerned by putting it back on that you may fasten it in, that you may fix it tightly, and that's why we said you may not put it back on, but you could take it off. No tell Adam Kurnos, right? So you could take a hammer, right? Amar of Yehuda, sorry. Kurnos shalagozim lofatsebo et agozim aval shalifachim lo. You could take a hammer designated for nuts, to break open nuts, but you can't take a hammer of a blacksmith. That's miyuchad for a melacha. And he clearly holds that something that is a klishim lach to leser, a vessel that its main function is to perform an iser, may not be moved, even if it is necessary for a mutter function on Shabbat. Amar li Rabba elameata sefer dekatani veta rachad veta malgaz latet alav lekatan rachad malgaz mimiyachdele lekatan. Right, but that doesn't make any sense because look at the end. Look at the sefer of what we taught, that you take a large spoon or a pitchfork. Those are not generally used for food, right? But you could take those things if you could use them for food. In which case, you can't tell me that we're only talking about things that are designated for food, like a hammer designated for nuts. It must be any hammer you're allowed to use, because a pitchfork is not designated for food purposes, and yet you'd be allowed to use it for food. Ela amar Rabba kurnos shelefachim lefatzeba agozim kasavar davar shemelach tole iser latzorach gufo mutar. So rather, when we say a hammer, we're talking about a hammer that is used by a blacksmith, but it can also be used to open up nuts. In which case, you'd be allowed to move it to open up nuts, because kli shemelach tole iser latzorach gufo mutter, right? So if there's a vessel generally intended to use for an iser, but it has a mutter function on Shabbat, you're allowed to move it for that purpose.